Hey guys, welcome to the Ardello Training Podcast. I'm Scott Ardello, your host, and welcome to episode number 187, where I've got a great interview session for you today with return guest, Joe DeSena. Joe is a creator of Spartan Race, and we had a great chat here that I'm excited to share with you this week on the show. So I'll tell you about that and a little bit more before we get into the interview session. So let's get started. All right, guys, welcome to this week's episode. And I wanted to take just a couple minutes here and let you know about a couple of things before we jump into the interview with Joe DeSena. And then we're going to get right into it. First, I do want to let you know that I will be back to doing weekly shows starting with this episode here today. So I'm really excited about that. I know that we've taken a bit of a hiatus here on the podcast, and that was certainly due to the big project that I had going on, the Revolution Strong Summit. That is now over. And I'll talk more about that in future episodes because we still have some great things that we're getting set up with the summit kind of on the back end. And it was really a huge success. And I was really excited about that and putting together this amazing project with the Revolution Strong Summit. Again, I'll talk about that in the future. Now, in addition to weekly shows here of the Ardello Training Podcast, I wanted to also let you know that I will be getting back to new weekly articles on ardellatraining.com. If you're a first-time listener and if you've never been to ardellatraining.com, look for new podcast episodes every Wednesday and now new articles coming your way every Monday. Again, that would be at ardellatraining.com. That's ardellatraining.com. Now, this session with Joe DeSena was a short session. Joe didn't have a lot of time. We actually got on the call late. It was a little bit hurried and a little bit chaotic that morning that we did this interview. But as always, listen for the great advice and insights from Joe. I have to tell you, I really like Joe and I admire his mission to help people and really change the world with what he's doing with Spartan Race and now his books and all the great things that Joe is doing. So we did this session a couple of months ago, but the content is still really fresh and relevant. So listen for the great nuggets and advice that Joe shares with us. So I also did want to let you know that as I record this right now, I am in the process of setting up some amazing new interviews for you here on the Ardello Training Podcast. So as I mentioned, we're going to be back to the weekly episodes, and I'm really excited about that, and I'm really excited about the great new guests that I hope will be joining me here on the show in the coming weeks. So stay tuned, guys, and with that, let's jump into the interview this week with Joe DeSena. I'm sure that you're going to enjoy this great chat session and listen for the great advice from Joe. Enjoy. All right, best-selling author and the founder of Spartan Race, Joe DeSena, joins the show this week. And actually, Joe is a return guest to the podcast. So, Joe, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, my pleasure. And I know we're limited on time, so we're going to get right into things. So let me start with the first question is, tell us what's going on with Spartan Race and a little bit about the growth, the international growth of Spartan Race and what's happening with the great things that you're doing.
Well, for me, I don't get involved in anything unless we're going to grow it. You know, go big or go home is one of my mottos. So I'm probably biting off more than I could chew at any moment in time. But we're in 30-plus countries. We'll have, you know, 180 events around the globe, so many different cultures. And we're only 6 years old, so it is a very fast-paced, you're out over your skis daily situation, but it's good. I can't complain.
Excellent. So I would imagine you get this question a lot, but how does Spartan Race differ from the other events that are out there that are similar but different? What's the big differentiating factor between Spartan Race?
Are there other events out there?
yeah, right.
We took a different approach. I was not going to be involved in another business or a sport that wasn't athletic in nature, that wasn't legitimate, authentic. So everything we did was less about the party, less about the beer, and more about, can you make yourself better, faster, stronger? I wasn't going to just torture people for the sake of torturing. All the obstacles, as I said, were going to be athletic in nature. And so I think the consumer has noticed, because our numbers just keep going up. And many of the other guys you talk about are having difficult times right now. And I don't wish ill on anybody, because business cycles go up and down. But I just think a lot of these guys took the wrong tact. And what I mean by that is, I think people get tired of a mud run or a party atmosphere. But I think, you know, the Olympics have been around for a long time. So if you focus on making it athletic, if you focus on making it aspirational, which we've done, if you have rules and regulations, it's going to scare a lot of people away. But those that do jump in are going to jump in and be with you for life. And that's what we're seeing. So that's the difference.
Awesome. Is there a typical demographic of the attendee of the Spartan race? I mean, is there an ideal participant that you typically see, or is it a big collection of different athletes and different backgrounds and things like that?
It's all across the board. It could be a track runner, it could be a football player, it could be a wrestler, it could be a couch potato, a mom, a grandmother, grandfather. They're coming from all over. And the reason it's so well dispersed is because it's a human sport. We're meant to run, climb, jump, crawl. That's what we did for, you know, 1 million plus years on this planet. And so really, I would argue that some of the sports you see in the Olympics today are not authentic to what a human being's meant to do. Like, we didn't throw basketballs back in the, not that I have anything, you know, against basketball. But this is so natural to the way our bodies are designed that anybody can get involved in it and do well.
Yeah. So, and we talked about this before. I think it was maybe the second interview or maybe the first interview I had with you. But, you know, you'd mentioned that, you know, you see power lifters and all different types of athletes that will sign up for these events. And I think that's a great thing, that you're seeing such a diversity in the participants in the Spartan race.
No doubt about it. I mean, I want, my whole goal in life is to touch millions of people and transform them, kind of be like a rogue atom in space. It just bangs into people and gets them moving. And so it's working beautifully.
Now, I do want to ask you about your new book, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But I did want to ask you this question. I know you're extremely busy. You always have a million things going on in your endeavors. But I'm curious, are there things that you have to do every day that are part of your, success rituals or habits? What is important to Joe DeSena that you have to do every single day?
Well, I got to wake up early. I got to sweat. You know, I think just going for a walk, it's kind of like starting a car. Remember the old days where the car would turn over? And until it turned over, it wasn't started. And so until you're sweating and breathing heavy, your day can't start. At least mine can't. And so, if I had the ability to really push America to do things, I would wake everybody up at 5 a.m. and we would start with 300 burpees. You want to make America great again? That's the way you do it. So that's just my thing. Like, it's more important than brushing my teeth. It's, I gotta sweat, I gotta work hard, take a cold shower, and from there everything else in the day is easy.
Joe, are you still doing 300 burpees every day?
I mix it up. I don't do less than 50. For about 2.5 years, I did 300 a day.
Okay.
Now I've done a lot of mobility exercises I've added to my routine. So I do about 12 different exercises, one of them being burpees. And I do 50 to 100 reps of each, depending on what kind of mood I'm in.
Okay.
And so if I do 50, I force myself to go run. If I do 100, I don't have to get the run in. But I always get an hour and a half in, and there are many days where I say, screw it, I got to do 300 burpees because I don't want to. So,
right.
But I can't say that I'm doing them every single day like I was.
If you don't mind me asking, what do you do for mobility work? Do you consider burpees part of your mobility program?
Yeah, the way I do them. Yeah, I came from a background of yoga thanks to my mom. So I've incorporated a lot of yoga movements into my body weight exercises. And so I'll do a back bridge 50 times, for example, just as one silly example. I'll do a lunge 50 times in a way where I get a complete stretch. And so all my movements are trying to make sure that I've got a full range of motion, side to side, front to back. And because that's, you know, it's important to be strong. Yes. It's important to have endurance, but it's more important to be mobile.
Excellent. So you consider your mobility work then the dynamic movements as opposed to like static stretching, which I think is great. So.
Well, I actually love static stretching, but I'm trying to create some kind of efficiency in that. No matter what time I wake up in the morning, there's just not enough time, right? Like I need 8 days in the week, and so I'm just trying to incorporate it all together.
Got it. So the new book, Spartan Fit, tell us how the new book is different from your previous work.
Well, so Spartan Up was really a mental awakening for the reader. And, are you happy with exactly where you are in life? You can go further. And it was a wake up call, but feedback we got was really focused on, hey, Joe, I'd love a blueprint. Give me things exactly to do. And so Spartan Fit is that blueprint. And the reason I chose 30 days is it's not about a gimmick. I used to tell a lot of people on Wall Street, I can get anybody ready for a marathon in 30 days. And it was always a joke and it would turn into a bet. And for a decade, I did it. I can get anybody ready. Doesn't matter who it is. And so that was the idea. The idea was, listen, stop with the excuses. You need to be bigger than your excuses. Here's a 30-day plan. If you can't give me 30 days, I don't know what to tell you. Like crawl up in the corner and don't participate in life. Yeah. But if you can give me 30 days, you are going to see a transformation that hopefully starts the boulder rolling downhill and changes your habits.
So the 30 days is more about the habit development than anything else.
Yes. Yes. You'll see such a transformation mentally and physically that, that hopefully it sticks. For many people it would stick. And then you're on to a new, I mean, we get hundreds of thousands of emails that say, Joe, you changed my life. Thanks for starting Spartan Race. Thanks for this. Thanks for that. And it's not about me. It's about them. That's what fuels me. That's what gets me up in the morning. And so, I just want more of that. And that's what the 30-day program is about.
So one of the subtitles of the book is Commit to Grit. And, I know that this is something that I think I've asked you about before, and you've talked a lot about grit, but can you define that word? What is grit and why is this important in high performance, in your opinion?
So grit is that ability to stay not only focused, but excited about something in the darkest moments. So you've been practicing the piano for 3 years and you just can't play that song, or you're practicing dance, or you're trying to lift a certain weight and you just can't do it. Or in Thomas Edison's case, trying to invent the light bulb, and you've done 900 light bulbs that won't light up. But somehow you wake up every morning with a kick in your step, motivated, pumped, and today's going to be the day. And that's grit. And that's what we need, in my opinion, and others' opinions, to succeed in life. Whether you want to be a monk or a mom or a business person, you've got to have that ability during those dark moments to face life head on with a smile. And if you can't do that, you're not going to get very far. So that's what grit's about. Because look, I'd be lying to you if I told you that every morning taking the cold shower, doing the workout we just described was fun and exciting. Who the hell wants to? I don't want to do that. But you make yourself do it, and you smile into it, and you come out the other side a better person.
So that's kind of the underlying benefits, I guess, of competing in a Spartan race is developing the attribute of grit.
Well, if we were to chart performance or success or happiness, what we would find, in my opinion, I think about this all day, every day, is that it's really dependent on your frame of reference. In other words, if you came from Eastern Europe and you ate rocks for breakfast because you had no food, you are happy with very little, right? You've got a different level of needs than somebody that's grown up with everything in America and they're not happy today because they didn't get the extra cookie or dessert or they didn't get to go to the beach or whatever, right? You're playing from a different level. And so it's extremely important that we knock, I call it purposeful suffering. We knock ourselves down so that we could start from a new frame of reference. You know, Seneca, a great philosopher from the ancient times, one of the wealthiest men, you know, he would be the equivalent of Warren Buffett today. Once a month for a day or two, he would go and become homeless and he would live like a pauper. And he would do that to change his frame of reference and to appreciate everything he had today. Great samurais out of Japan, every night before they went to bed, would close their eyes and visualize all their possessions being burned. And so they had nothing when they went to bed. When they woke up, everything they had, they appreciated.
Wow.
And so I think it's extremely important to, do something gut-wrenching.
Yes.
In the morning and literally just take yourself to a place where you want water, food, and shelter. Right? We used to say when we were racing, me and my team years ago, we'd say if you're eating too much, I'm sorry, if you're not hungry, you're eating too much. If you're not cold, you're wearing too much. If you're not tired, you're sleeping too much. And there's something to be said for that.
Joe, let's switch gears a little bit and let me ask you about something in your book, and that is the seven pillars. I wonder if you could touch on the seven pillars, but I wanted to ask you about one of the pillars in particular, and that pillar was athleticism. How do you define that, and why is that important for the everyday person?
I know our kids, my wife and I have four children, and every day we make them work out twice a day. And really, if people say, well, are you training them for lacrosse or soccer or basketball or this or that? And I view it as training for life. And it's really, we're just developing athleticism. We're just giving them this ability to run, climb, jump, be coordinated, have strength, endurance, so that when they do pick something in life, no matter what it may be, they're going to become proficient at it very quickly. So I have a problem with people at focusing on one. You know, I was with a very high level basketball player recently, and had all kinds of injuries. And I argued it's because you were so specific for so many years in your training that the body just couldn't handle that. But if you broadened it out and just focused on athleticism, and were more focused on mobility and stretching and I believe you're going to have a much longer athletic career and you're going to be more likely to take on life's physical challenges.
Yeah. So it's really that balance of many different physical qualities is really how you would define athleticism, I think.
Yeah. It's like a gymnast with some martial arts in it, with a little dancing, as silly as that sounds, right? But that ability to be flexible, mobile, have great timing, you can't touch that.
I'm really glad that you have – well, I think the pillars are great, but I'm really glad that you have the recovery as one of the standalone pillars as well, because that sometimes is a forgotten aspect of training. So for athletes and people that are training at a higher level, you know, they tend to burn the candle at both ends, and I think that recovery is so important in maximizing performance. Right. So,
I'm in agreement there. I'm so addictive. I've got such an addictive personality when it comes to working out as most AAA type A, you know, personalities do that. We tend to forget sleeping and recovery. And so I'm with you. I would most of my life, I'd never take a nap or slow down or whatever. And now I just listen to my body. My body needs a break. I take a break. I'm not great at it. But, you know, this is one of those things, practice what I preach, not what I do. No doubt about it. You need to recover.
Do you have a preferred recovery strategy that you use today?
Well, the number one way for me to recover and relax is ice cold bath, followed by sleeping in a completely dark room that's a little cold. You become a vampire.
Sure.
That cold water just squeezes all the lactic acid out of your muscles. It gets you completely relaxed. And you come out of, for those listening, you ever do a Bikram yoga class, come out of Bikram, go into an ice plunge, go into a dark room. It's like you're reborn. So
yes,
that's the ultimate.
So I know we are limited on time here, so I got a couple more quick questions for you, and then we'll wrap up, and I'll let you finish up with your packing, and I'm packing here as well. Actually, we're moving out of this house here in just a couple of days. But nice. I did want to ask you about one of the events that you competed in, and that is the Badwater Ultra Marathon. I wonder if you could maybe just touch on that experience, and what was that like? Because that's just an amazing endurance event, obviously. I have one of my mentors down here in South Florida, Frank McKinney. He's competed in that event a couple of times, and I've asked him that question. What was your experience like with the Badwater?
You know, what I found, there are little cues and tricks you can use with your mind to get through things. So, for instance, in the morning, if you're going to do 300 burpees, I might say to myself, hey, I'm going to do 700 today or 1,000. I don't have no intention of doing 700 or 1,000, but just that mental cue of saying you're doing that many makes 300 easier, right? It changes that frame of reference. So with Badwater, it was just another thing I was doing, and amongst a bunch of stuff. And that, for me, that was the way to tackle it head on and not really notice it that much, as ridiculous as that sounds. I started out with a friend. We're in the middle of a whole bunch of other stuff. And so we got to the starting line. I said, what are we doing? She said, we're going to start last. And that day, I think it hit 137 degrees or some ridiculous number. It was hell on earth. And, but she was genius. She said, we're going to walk the first marathon. And so we walked, and it was frustrating, and we were literally last and second to last. And then as the sun started going down later that day, we started to pick up the pace a little. And by that night, we were running, and most of the elite athletes the names we know, were puking on the side of the road, being hella-vacked out, quitting. And that gave us fuel to our fire. That inspired us. And before you knew it, we were, you know, in single digits. And I had my ice tub with me. So every marathon, I sat in an ice tub for a little bit.
Right.
Which was logistically challenging to get around in that kind of heat. but it was awesome. Got to the finish line and sat in an ice tub for a while and moved on to the next challenge. I'm not one of these guys, and I probably do it on purpose. I don't sit around and get nervous. I just sign up and go do it.
Really?
Wow. Don't think about it. Don't read about it. I don't want to know the course. Just get me to the starting line, point me in the direction, and I'm going.
Is that the most important step, Joe? Just to sign up, just to commit to it?
That's it. That's the hardest thing to do is clicking on the sign up button. But that sets a whole series of things in motion that'll change your life.
What do you attribute the most to your success? Obviously, you're wildly successful in life and in physical performance, the things that you've done. If there's one thing that you attribute the most to where you are today, what's that one thing?
You know, I think about it a lot. We have a podcast where we interview successful people, and I'm always diving in to find out what it is. And I think it's the ability to prioritize and the ability to be working ahead. And I'm probably not describing it well, but what I mean by that is Sunday night, my wife wanted to take me to go see Coldplay, a private 100-person concert, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for somebody that likes Coldplay. And I was like, no, we got stuff to do because we're leaving here in a couple of days. I got to get organized. And now some people would look at this, including my wife, and say, hey, that's ridiculous. You got to have fun. You got to do that. The problem is, if the goal is to knock things off the list, achieve things, make money, become a monk, we could be a great monk, whatever it is. Unfortunately, you got to get stuff done in preparation for tomorrow. So some people would look at me and say, hey, you're a maniac. You never stop. You don't relax. But actually, that's my relaxation. I like being ahead of the game. On time for me is late. When I was in college, I was working in a bar, and a bunch of my peers would look at me carrying all the glasses and the bottles up and down the stairs. And they'd say, hey, you got to smile and just have some fun. And I was thinking, gee, I'm having a lot of fun right now. I'm working. I'm carrying stuff. I like doing that. I'm getting paid. And all these people are drunk, and they're going to start their day tomorrow about 5 hours after me. So easy for me to describe. I think it's hard for a lot of people to execute for some reason. I just love to get stuff done.
Do you think the I guess I'm looking for a term that would describe that, your gift. I mean, is it a visionary? Is that what you would call yourself?
I don't know. I mean, I do dream up things, but dreaming up things doesn't really do anything. What changes the world is when you actually execute. And executing is hard for a lot of people, I think, because one, they get stuck. They overthink it. It's not going to work, right? You come up with it. The other thing is they don't prioritize. I used to say, when I had my Wall Street firm, I used to say to the guys, this is going to sound terrible, but if you guys want to make a lot of money, which is the reason we're here on Wall Street, if that's your focus, well, you have to be with your clients on Christmas. You have to be with your clients in Hanukkah. You have to be with your clients on Thanksgiving. And if you're not prepared to do that, now I'm not telling you they're more important than your family. What I'm saying is if you're here for that reason, that's where all your time, all your energy has to be focused. And so with execution of a business or whatever it is that your endeavor, it's all day, every day. Otherwise, don't do it. Like, what are you doing, right? You're not going to achieve much without focus on it. There's a great sect of monks in Japan called the U.S. Description of them the English description of them is they call them the marathon monks. These monks go out for 100 days and do a marathon a day with wooden sandals. And they do that to prove to the elders that they're serious. Once they've done 100 days in a row, a marathon every day with wooden sandals on, they are given a sword. And they are told to do another 800 days with the sword. And if they decide to quit along the way, they have to kill themselves on the course. Sounds extremely extreme.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting people do that. But what I'm saying is you gotta play like a pro in life. And those guys, like, you want to be a monk at that level? That's the way they're playing. Right? Like,
right.
Who, J.J. Watt got paid all that money. There was an article in the paper said, next morning he was in the gym 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Like that's who I want to be around.
You got to pay your dues.
Yeah.
I've got to ask you, how did you learn about that story that you just told about the monks?
The marathon monks?
Yeah.
I went there. Okay. I'm on my way back to Japan now.
Wow.
I went there and I'm just enamored with that kind of commitment. I love commitment. I'm drawn to it. I'm inspired by it. And yeah, I got a guy I'm meeting Thursday that's just an animal. He decided at 48 years old he was going to go get his MBA, and he decided he was going to get a 4.0. And so he had a program. He was going to study 6 hours a day, every single day, 7 days a week. And there'd be no partying.
Right.
He'd be in the gym. He'd do his 2 hours in the gym. He'd do his 6 hours of studying. The rest of the time was eating and sleeping. And he got a 4.0. And you hear that story, and it's like that – Those are the great movies, right? Those are the stories that inspire the world, and yes. I want to play at that level.
Yeah. So you still have a big vision with everything that you're working on and creating.
Well, I mean, if I could help more people live that way and inspire more people, then I've done my job. There's nothing like being around a motivated, driven person.
Yes. Do you have any final resources, anything that we didn't cover in the interview today? Any resources that you could share with the audience before my final question for you?
Yeah, just go to Spartan.com, check out the blogs, check out the podcast, Spartan Up Podcast, and just dive in. And look, I'm never selling in the sense that I feel weird saying, oh, sign up for Spartan. Sign up for something. I don't care what you sign up for, but sign up for something that's extremely uncomfortable. And it'll force you to go to bed early, or force you to wake up early, or force you to eat better, put down an extra drink. That's my purpose on this planet. So if I affected one person with this interview, then I won.
Excellent. So you kind of answered my final question. The final question was, what's one takeaway action for the listener, for the audience? And I think you just said it with go sign up for something, go take action and move forward. So anything
move
else you
forward.
Want, move forward. All right, Joe, thank you so much. This has been great. Thanks for coming back on the show. And guys, thanks for listening this week to the Ardella Training Podcast. We'll see you next time. Take care. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast this week. And if you'd like to become part of the Ardella Training community, be sure to go to ardellatraining.com/join to get your free training mistakes guide, which contains 12 critical training mistakes I made through the years. I know this 36-page guide will save you time and frustration and accelerate your training results. And it's free. You'll get that and so much more at ardellatraining.com/join. Hope to see you there.